Hello, barflies, and welcome back to the Boilermaker Tapes, where we do a beer and a shot, and we tell one great drinking story. I'm joined with my esteemed colleague, a new friend of the show, Mac Bayline. Welcome, Mac.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, man. Thanks. So happy to have you in my home. And you are, I got to tell you, the very first guest to ever record in our newest setup here at the Edgedale Mansion. Is no longer the Bonnyview Mansion. It is no longer the Berwick Mansion. It is no longer the Elwood Mansion. We've had a lot of iterations of the show, but we are at the Edgedale Mansion for the very first time. Welcome, man.
I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. You are the bottle of champagne broken across this Titanic that about to set sail. And I got to say, man, this has got to be the most Maryland shit ever, because I got my Natty Bo here. And as all of you listeners know, I got my Natty Bo tattoo on my ass, but I'm here with Mac Bayline from Annapolis, okay? Does it get any more fucking Maryland, hun, than being Bayline from Annapolis?
It really don't. And I'm from a long line of Baltimoreans.
Yes, so. Yes. I get that vibe from you. And I'll tell you, man, it warms my heart. It really does. It really does. Well, as you guys know, because if you're listening, you are one of our wonderful Patreon subscribers, one of our barflies, and one of our executive producers. And we do love you. We appreciate your contribution to the show. You allow us to soar on eagle's wings and continue to take this wonderful program to more people and grow this wonderful community. But you know how the Boilermaker Tapes work. We're going to get right into it. The show is going to be quick and sweet, and you get to hear less of me and more of our wonderful guests. So let's get this thing started. Let's crack our beers. That's right. Chase that bad boy with a shot.
Cheers.
Fantastic. I got to tell you, there's nothing like a Boilermaker to get the night going. And remember, if you are going to select an alcohol other than whiskey, consider the Ron Colon Salvadorano Red Banana Oleo. I think I did that right. No, that's a wonderful gift from our supporters at the Herd Card Game. It's a banana washed rum that we'll be profiling on a few later shows. So give that one a check out, and we'll put in the link to this episode. All right, Mr. Mac, let's talk a little bit about you for a second. So I know you've come prepared with a lot. We were going to do our full BRP today. Did not come to fruition. Unfortunately, Mike got tied up. So we're going to do some Boilermaker Tapes. Remind me the name of this first story really quick.
So this first one, I think we're going to go with the Acid Flask.
The Acid Flask. Okay. That one, just the name alone, it concerns me. I've done acid twice. Both experiences were pretty fucking terrible for me personally. I love psychedelics, but acid just does not jive with my system. So I'm going to be a little anxious as we walk through this, but I'm very eager to hear what you got.
It is a walking anxiety attack, okay. In all honesty.
Okay.
I'm a few years removed from my heavy psychedelic days. So all right. This is a throwback.
The hair would say otherwise. Yeah. You know what I mean? As you can see, I'm in my psychedelic days. I haven't shaved in a couple weeks yet. So,
Well, this is actually short for me, surprisingly enough.
So, is it real?
Yeah. Nowadays it's regular, but
the gift of lettuce runs strong in the Bayline bloodline. How about that?
Apparently.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. Got plenty of friends losing it. So
set the scene for us. Where does the Acid Flask begin?
So it begins in New York City, actually.
Okay.
Want to say it was a Saturday evening show. Me and one of my best friends, we hopped on a bus, mega bus action.
The mega bus.
For alias purposes, we're going to call him Crimes.
Crimes is the name of your friend.
Yeah, Crimes. Okay. That's
good.
Yeah, he's got many a nicknames, but Crimes works perfectly for a story. Shout out to Crimes. So me and Crimes, we hop on the Megabus. We head up there.
Shout out to the Megabus. Just for a second pour one out for our homies at the Megabus company? Gotta love those people.
If I had my choice, the train is always the best way to get into the city.
100%.
Because you can just drink the whole way up there.
And I hate to keep interrupting you. And this, again, I always promise you people that I'm going to let the guests talk. But again, the Megabus is not a good thing. It's a trashy, terrible thing.
Get you from A to B.
but it's nostalgia because for those of you in the country that don't live in the Northeast and don't know what the Megabus is, if you book far enough in advance and you have to go to a Northeast city, you can actually get a Megabus ride for $1. You know how you know that? It's literally advertised on their bus, $1 rides. And I took more than a few $1 rides from Baltimore to New York.
Yeah, or Philly, Megabus. Whatever
it is. Oh, it's great. I mean, and you're just packed in there like sardines with a bunch of sweaty assholes farting their way all the way up 95. It's terrible.
If you've been on the Megabus, you know what it smells like. For sure.
And it's a means to an end, right? Like when you're getting on the Megabus, you know that when you get to your final destination, fun will ensue. Good things will happen, but this is the suffering that you must go through. It's the adversity you must go through to get there.
I mean, honestly, and when you pay a dollar to get wherever you're going, you know you've got more money in your pocket to party when you get there.
There it is.
So
that's just a heady play. All right, so I'm gonna throw it back to you. So you're on the Megabus. You're heading up to New York.
Yeah, and you know, this is just a brief introduction to the story because that night was a little blurry in all honesty, but we went up, we saw the concert, saw one of our favorite bands play.
Who's that?
Lotus.
God, love them.
Philly-based band.
Yeah.
You know, Jamtronica, for those who don't know about it.
They shred.
Yeah, they shred. It's always a dance party, always a good time. So hit the show. It's at Terminal 5. Kind of do some New York-y things. Didn't have a place to crash for the night. So, you know, we're just being debaucherous, running around the city until we can get our bus back home in the morning, which we eventually do. I think we left around, like, let's say 4:30 a.m., 5 a.m. probably.
From New York
to get back to...
Is this another Megabus ride?
Yeah.
You're catching the Megabus from New York at 4:30 in the morning?
Yeah, maybe closer to 5, I
guess. Jesus Christ. And now I also have to guess too that because the Megabus always has that one drop off and one pickup place. And if you're somewhere out in the abyss of Manhattan and you're fucked up, you have to always have to run back to where that Megabus is picking you up again. Is that.
Yeah, I don't even remember how we got back to the bus.
You just magic. You magically.
We
came to and you're on the second. It's a double decker bus, by the way, people. Yeah, you're on the second floor of the bus. Okay.
Exactly. The show was great. Kind of remember that. We got dinner before. That was pretty cool.
Asian noodles? What are we talking?
I think we went to an Italian spot that was like within a couple blocks walking distance. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Bunch of different kids from, you know, around kind of East Coast tri-state areas that all met up to go see the show together.
And Terminal 5 is down near the Village, right? South Manhattan. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's not going to be a ton of Asian food.
Kind of crazy venue too. Like, it's like, you know, you walk in, you kind of go up the steps, if I remember, and then there's a big dance floor, but they have like, you know, a rooftop deck where everybody congregates and smokes cigarettes and shit like that. So pretty, like, you know, when you think about putting a large scale venue in a city,
yeah,
you got to make the most with the space that you have, but they pack a good amount of fucking people in there.
All right. And Lotus, Lotus is a good city show too, right? Yeah. Like I've seen them at Mike and I believe, maybe Mike has. I know I've seen them at festivals and they rock a festival, right? Because they're jammy, you know, and you're outside and you're barefoot and you're dancing your ass off. But, you know, it feels like a grindy ass fucking city club is a good speed for them. You know?
Bands of that kind of genre in general, if you catch them on a tour show, they're always going to be firing on all cylinders. You go to festivals and, you know, there's certain bands, certain artists that are kind of built for that one big show, one festival show where they're trying to draw in as much of the crowd as possible. You go to see a tour show and they're playing just for their diehard fans.
Yeah. Okay. So, I dig that. But, all right. I'm derailing us here. So you barely make it back to the bus.
We make it back to the bus eventually, apparently, allegedly. And, you know,
you're here now, so we know that you're not still at the Lotus show.
We're not still there. We get back still pretty early in the morning and hop in his car, and we're both like struggling for life at this point. So sun's up, blasting us in the eyes. Paul Simon's getting us home.
Oh,
just sing along.
Somewhere my mother is listening to this. She's our biggest fan, and you just made her day.
Me and your mom might end up being best friends.
Big Paul Simon girl.
Yeah,
she really is.
Who doesn't like Ryman Simon?
Come on, dude.
Fuck Garfunkel. I'll just throw that one out there. But
hot takes. We're going to save that one for another show.
So, like, about 20 minutes out, I want to say 30 minutes out of getting back to Annapolis, where I was living at the time, we get a call from one of his roommates who will do aliases on this as well. And we'll call him Sharkbait.
Crimes and Sharkbait.
Yeah.
So, I like these names.
So Sharkbait, you know, is his roommate. One of our best friends. All of us were always hanging out. Another funny little one, like the house that these guys lived at in Annapolis, we used to call it the Den of Sin because we were always having a party there or coming back from the bars or whatever it was.
Very fitting. That, yeah. You know,
there was a big unfinished basement.
Help me again paint this picture. How old are you at the time? Because I, you know, the Den of Sin can mean different things for different houses at different ages, yeah. Right? So, like, where are we in our life right now, age-wise?
I would say I was probably freshly 21.
Oh, yeah.
So I had been illegally drinking for a while now.
Young, dumb, and full of Long Island iced teas.
No Long Island iced teas, but more than my fair share of Jack Daniels that I will never touch again.
That's a little inside joke for the Barflies. But all right, sorry. So you're at the Denison. You guys come right off the mega bus into that?
Essentially, we get a phone call about halfway home, and it's Sharkbait, who we'd been trying to get to do drugs with us for however long at this point. And it's just a very... What's up, my dudes? And we're like, not much. We're like in the car coming home. We went to go see Lotus tonight. And Sharkbait goes, well, I just ate acid by myself an hour ago. I don't know why, but do you want to join me when you guys get back?
Is Sharkbait like straight edge at this point?
No, he drank. He just like, it was never his cup of tea, you know?
So he drank no drugs though?
Yeah. For the most part.
No drugs. And his first drug decision was to do acid alone.
Probably done mushrooms and smoked some weed and stuff like that, obviously. But, you know, I mean, different jokes for different folks.
See, these are the moments where I sit and I think, like, that person should probably be an astronaut. You know what I mean? Because he's brave enough to be like, I'm going to try acid alone when I'm not even, like, a seasoned drug user.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't even know how to run yet. But he's willing to kind of like jump off a cliff and do something crazy like that.
Yeah, and he got his sea legs under him pretty quickly. So, you know, hats off to him sure.
He doesn't call you, say, let's take it. He calls you and says, I have taken it.
I have taken it. Yes. This has already ensued. Nobody's at the house right now. Where are you guys? Do you want to hang out when you get back? Which initially both of us are just like,
Lord,
we're going
heaven.
To bed when we get home. We haven't slept. We just went to New York City and back. And
I'm so
did
stressed
all
out
things.
Right now. I'm so stressed.
But when your boy calls you and he's on this adventure by himself, okay. you can't leave him out to hang like that. So,
of course not. And he's a baby. Again, like we just said, he's a baby in this realm.
Yeah, absolutely. Usage. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In this atmosphere, he has not been out there before. So.
He needs a lifeguard.
I mean, at least the buddy system.
For sure. Okay. You know? All right.
Safety
cool.
First, then teamwork. So.
So you guys come running like fucking Hasselhoff and, you know, the other Baywatch crew across Annapolis to the Denison.
Yeah. Back to the Denison.
All right. And at this point, it's got to be what, 10, 11?
Very early in the day.
Yeah, haven't
absolutely.
Slept.
Absolutely. Haven't slept.
Binging Lotus.
And just dive straight into it. And so it's just the three of us to start. And then, you know, a couple other guys end up tagging into the team throughout the morning. And it's like, all right, well, what are we going to do now? We're not just going to sit in the house. So
you hold on. You and Crimes go over and you also take.
So Crimes lives there.
Right. But I'm saying.
Yeah. We get there. We dive in with
you
him
immediately.
As well.
Immediately join him on the
exactly. Just keep the night before going. And.
But specifically, you're joining him on the acid.
Specifically joining him on the acid. Oh, okay. We may or may not have eaten some the night before. So.
Right.
I mean, it
extending.
Makes, like, we didn't sleep the night before for purposes.
Valid reasons, right? And it's a good drug for Lotus. So
absolutely. And so, you know, we go back, we join him. We have to double down because we were already fucked up from the night before.
Yeah.
And then we don't really know what to do with ourselves. So we sit around and giggle for a little while. And then we decide, let's go start bar hopping around downtown Annapolis and just fuck around and find out.
Again, for those of you who are not familiar with the state capital of Maryland, okay, which makes Mac even more of a Marylander, right? His name is Bayline. Annapolis is on the Chesapeake Bay, but Annapolis is the capital of the state of Maryland. It is this scenic little cobblestone street town where Main Street literally leads down into the water. I mean, it is like something out of another time, out of like a colonial period. It screams sophistication and class and legislature and the Navy, right? It has when I think of Annapolis, I think of pastel shorts, frat boys, and boat shoes. And these boys, Crimes, Sharkbait, and our wonderful friend Mac Bayline, fucked up on acid, sleep deprived from Lotus in New York and the Megabus, are headed down to Bar Hop.
Yeah.
In downtown Annapolis.
Yeah, and we were getting looks for sure. But I mean, this is
I can fucking imagine.
I'm used to it. I mean, your description is pretty spot on for what this town is. It's, you know, it's definitely a dichotomous community because you've got like some of the wealthiest, preppiest people in the world, and then you've got just a bunch of average Joes. Like that, one of their kind of sayings there is they call it a drinking town with a sailing problem.
Okay, because that's good. I actually never heard that.
Most
one
people
before.
Sail, but everybody's drinking.
Yep. I appreciate a good SAT word in dichotomy there. I appreciate it even more when it's used properly. So well done by your little golf clap on the side. So you guys head out for your bar hopping. I assume at this point it's really starting to set in.
Yeah.
The dire situation that you're in.
Yeah. Things are starting to get very vibrant.
Okay.
I think is probably the best way to describe it. Colors are going, you know, wild.
Those pastels are pastelling. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. The Lily Pulitzer dresses are neon at this point.
Yeah, God, what's the whale? Why can't I? The vineyard vines is vining. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly. So we hop into our first spot, which is really cool little restaurant bar area, Metropolitan, right on West Street.
Oh, yeah.
BRP
fave. We've been there many times.
It's definitely a solid spot. You know, I give them a shout out by name because it's one of the few places I truly do love going to hang out down there.
For sure.
And we get in, we just start drinking. And like, I don't know, we're all sorts of fucked up. There's like us and maybe two other people in the restaurant. Bartender's loving us because we're there and we're just spending money for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. And next thing you know, like, I mean, you know, cancel culture, unfortunately, I'm going to have to throw this out there, but we're just requesting R. Kelly on repeat, Ignition Remix, like just a bunch of hippies just listening to Ignition Remix on repeat, which, you know, RIP to that song. But of course, you know, we don't condone R. Kelly, but. And then next thing you know, some random, like, I don't know if he was a journalist or a journalism major or whatever it was. Like, not many people realize, but there's actually two colleges in downtown Annapolis. There's the Naval Academy and then there's St. John's, which is a liberal arts school, super duper tiny. But if I remember correctly, he was affiliated with St. John's in some form, shape, or way. And he's just kind of staring at us from the other end of the bar for a while. And we didn't really think much of it because we knew we were making complete asses of ourselves anyways. Who wouldn't be staring at us?
Right.
And then he kind of approaches us and he's like, "Hey, this is my story. You guys look like you're having a great time. I'm writing a piece on like the locals of the town, what they like to do for fun, all this, that, and the third."
This is some gotcha ass journalism right here.
Yeah. And Sharkbait just immediately goes, "Yeah, I'll do the interview. First off,
the kid who's just done acid for the first time in his life, right? Okay.
Yeah. And his first statement is, "But just to make this clear, before we get things started, we're all on acid right now. That's you're taking starts. Notes, right?"
Please keep that on the record. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, he put it immediately on the record. Yeah. And all of us are just laughing uncontrollably at this statement because it's like, all right, like this dude's going to get something to write about for sure. And we kind of just let Sharkbait do his thing. You know,
okay.
He's
riffing.
He's riffing. We're laughing. And that was the start of that day. And like you said, I mean, that might have started around 10, maybe 11. Like the bars were probably just opening when we got there. And
isn't this like shows on Friday? This is
shows
a
on Saturday.
Saturday.
This
is a Sunday. What time of year is this?
This is February.
Dude, it's and cold
the,
as
the
shit
only
down
reason
there.
I know this
You're
is
out
because
of your mind.
If I remember correctly, which I'm pretty sure, it was Super Bowl Sunday.
What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, so
you are out of your fucking mind.
So we just kind of fucked around.
What Super Bowl is this? Please tell me you remember. I'm begging you.
I don't remember who they played, and it's in that era where it's too easy to fall back on, but I know the Patriots won that year. And if I was 21,
so what year were you 21?
Would have been, so I was either 21 or 22 at this time. So it's 2024. I'm 30. So 9 years ago.
Oh, I know exactly what it was. It's Carolina Panthers.
2015.
Oh, 2015.
Maybe. 2015 or 20.
Seattle?
It might have been Seattle.
Seattle. Oh, was that?
It might have been the year that Russell Wilson threw the pick on the fucking goal line.
Yeah, dude, this is the Marshawn Lynch goal line.
I think we
all felt like we were on acid. We were like, what is Pete Carroll doing? Marshawn Lynch, give him the ball. You're on the fucking 1 yard line. What are you fucking doing
with
dude?
The season that dude had too, that was insane.
God,
that was the epitome of beast mode,
dude. Listen, anybody that would give a quote, run through a motherfucker's face. Okay. You don't not give that guy the ball in the Super Bowl, right? And that has to be it. That has to be Legion of Boom 2015.
Yeah. I'm thinking so. Cause I remember it being a wild game, but by the time that we get around to that late in the evening, it was just pure debauchery. Not only did the drinking continue, but the dosage just continued to go up.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was hoping that we could circle back to the name of this particular story. You called it the acid flask. And, you know, I'm one for deductive reasoning. We're out on the town. You guys are feeling a little squirrely. Please don't tell me that you had a flask full of acid on you.
Essentially, you know, at some point in the day, we took a little break. We went back to the house
The den of sin.
To the den. And met up with our other friend, their other roommate.
Okay.
He joined us. And there was this like crazy, I don't even know how to describe it, because I'm going to call it a flask, but really it was more of like a glass, like vase almost, with a cork on top of it that was like strung up on like some hemp into like what would have been the biggest, gaudiest necklace you could imagine.
This is some Lotus ass jam band shit, dude. This is the somewhere all of our deadheads are like, yeah, I got one of those. The top shelf of my closet.
Yeah, and all of my professors are like rolling over. Like, this is not the Mac that we've met over the past 4 years. So we decided to fill it up with whiskey.
Okay.
And then throw a whole mess load of LSD into the whiskey. And off the top of my head, I would say probably somewhere between 25 and 50 hits. And then we just went back out into the town and we're passing it around. We're sharing. We're having a good time. We're making friends. Some of our friends are involved with us.
On
Super Bowl Sunday. And, you know, like, we realize it's Super Bowl Sunday, probably about 4 p.m.
Most people overdose on chicken wings.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's usually the move. You're eating fucking buffalo and you're skipping the blue cheese and ranch. You're just going straight to the acid at this point.
We did eat some wings.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. I was worried.
We ended up eating some
all wings. These beautiful boys on empty stomachs. I was like, what's going to happen here? All right. So this is descending into madness at this point, right? Yes, like,
absolutely.
I feel like the people, please give us a resolution. There has to be some. I think the person I'm concerned most about at this point is Sharkbait. Like, Sharkbait can't be.
He's thriving.
Thriving.
Absolutely thriving.
Kid's a natural.
He's a natural.
First round draft pick. Like, I mean, was like blue chip, like talent made for this.
Hit the ground running.
Really?
Absolutely. Yep.
Good for him.
I mean,
didn't have the same experience.
Honestly, once I saw him go into the interview with some random dude and just like not skip a beat, I was like, he'll be all right.
He, you know, Sharkbait strikes me as a pretty happy soul.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of joy in him. You need that. You need that if you're going to, you know, you're going to take drugs like a champion as what's God, who is the comedian? I'm trying to, Jim Jefferies. I take drugs like a champion, but Gary, he got fucked up and hit a school bus full of children. anyway, sorry. One of my favorite bits ever. I digress.
No, I mean, yeah. And so really it just keeps going until the sun's down.
When do you
we're in another bar. We realize the Super Bowl is about to come on. So we're like, fuck it. We're just going to hang out here, watch the game. Like, we got some food. And really, like, I'm not going to say we got lucky because nobody likes to waste good anything, but eventually the fucking glass flask somehow falls, hits the ground, breaks.
No. So
there's just acid whiskey like on the floor in a pile of broken glass that luckily we had gone through most of already. But it was very, it was.
What are the odds that's, well, here's the thing. It's February.
We got cut off without even asking for it.
It's February, so it's cold. But imagine if this was like, for example, the middle of the summer, some bitch in flip-flops is going to cut her toe. And the next thing you know, she's doing cartwheels, rolling her ass off like Jimi Hendrix.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a rough crowd. Downtown Annapolis, it could go either yeah, way. Yeah. That's where the anxiety could kick in. That same broad could just be sitting in a fetal position.
Who dropped it?
I don't know if it was a bad handoff or what happened.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a bad handoff. I mean, Russell Wilson picked off at the goal line. Yeah. I mean, that sort of thing.
Tossing it straight to Devin McCourty.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was Devin.
Was it? Who was it?
There was definitely McCourty on that team. Like, I have his name on the tip of my tongue. It wasn't McCourty.
It wasn't McCourty.
We're gonna figure this.
We'll figure it out for sure. It'll come to us.
But
it was equally bad, except for they at least kept the ball in their hands. This one hit the ground.
I gotta say, like, that does feel like the most fitting ending to it. It's like, okay, we have completed our mission. Lotus brought us to the den of sin. Thank you, Lotus. From there, the magical flask of acid took us the rest of the way. But once we got to the end of our journey, once we got to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
it was time to shatter that acid and, you know, move on with our lives.
Yeah, I mean, the party didn't stop. I mean, because we were all so wired at this point that we weren't going to sleep anytime soon. I mean, we kept drinking. We kept having a good time. And, I mean, I ended up passing out on their couch and waking up the next morning just feeling like absolute dog shit, as you could only imagine, because
sure it was the next morning, sure it wasn't like the next week,
you know,
sure about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was that one. I remember because I had to go to work the next afternoon.
Okay.
But being
what job were you doing at that time?
I was just waiting tables and starting to learn behind the bar at that time.
Thank Christ. I want to apologize to whoever came to his restaurant on that day. You did not get A-level service, but, you know, hopefully you saw the glimmer in his eye of how much fun he had the day before.
If not, you could smell it.
But yeah. Oh, God. Good Lord.
Luckily it was a cool spot and it was a little more casual,
okay,
you know, and it was a Monday night. It wasn't.
Post Super Bowl. Yeah. No, what's going on?
Yeah, it was very, very low key.
If you're gonna get fucked up, if you're gonna go on a bender through Super Bowl weekend, is probably a pretty good one. Because you get a little reprieve on your Monday. Well, goddamn. Thank you, Mac. Thank you for sharing the acid flask.
The acid flask
with us. One more cheers. Thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate you, wonderful, wonderful barflies. Keep being executive producers and helping us take this show from coast to coast. Until next time, fuck off.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening along and thanks for drinking along. We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, we release new episodes every couple of weeks. Big shout out to our friends at Trauma Parlor, whose song Fast One you heard throughout the show. Go check them out on Facebook and Spotify and show them some love.
Damn straight. And if you want to be one of our barflies, check out our website at brpdrinkalong.com. Or
we have a website?
That's right. We have a website. Thank you so much, recording daddy, Stefan, the fucking man.
Media daddy.
The media daddy.
It's really cool. Go check it out.
Yeah, the man behind that is truly making the show go. And if you aren't just checking out the website, you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at BRP Drink Along. That's where you can check out everything we are doing, become a Patreon member, and shop the merch store. You can listen along anywhere you get your podcasts, but just make sure you please give us 5 stars, you know, or fuck off. Your ratings help us grow the show, reach new listeners, and immortalize your favorite local bartenders. And plus, Mike and I really, really need the personal validation.
Yeah, it's been a while, guys. We're getting back into the saddle here, so, you know, give us some love. You don't have to. Fuck you. I don't care. Now, for all of you shit talkers out there, I'm just kidding. I love you. Now, for all of you shit talkers out there, it's your turn on the microphone. We've set up a bartender rant hotline called The Suggestion Box, where you can air your grievances, tell your stories, or just rant about the bullshit you just put up with. Just dial 423-763-7268 and drop a line. Steve and I will play the best of the bunch and react to your crazy stories on this new segment. So the next time the bar business has you saying, fuck me, just dial 423-P-O-D-R-A-N-T.
No doubt. And Mike, just really quickly, I haven't prepped Mike on this. Would you mind singing the 423 Pod Rant jingle for the people? We won't do it every time, but this is our first outro since you wrote the jingle.
Oh, we're actually going to have it put together, but it's like, okay. When customers, managers, coworkers bite, whether it's a Monday or a Saturday night, if the service industry has got you saying, fuck me, call 423-P-O-D-R-E-N-T.
Hell yes. I love it. It's so perfect. And if you guys want to be one of our executive producers,
a.k.a. one of our bozos,
please subscribe to the Bartender Rant Podcast on Patreon, where you'll get access to all of our bonus content, you'll be the first in line for early releases, and you'll get your name and drink of choice shouted out during halftime. Our executive producers are the fuel that helps us grow the show and keep interviewing local bartenders around the world. So until next time, don't just listen along,
drink along.
If you or someone you know is struggling with alcoholism or substance abuse, please contact SAMHSA's National Helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. Their National Helpline is free, confidential, 24/7, and 365 days a year. Look, we love you guys. We really appreciate listening along, but more than anything, we want you to stick around. And you can't do that if you're not taking care of yourself. So if you do need some help, please reach out to their national helpline. If you're an international listener, please just get online and find a helpline or a help center near you. And as always, Steve and I are happy to talk to anyone. If you need just somebody to talk to or vent to, we're happy to be there for you. We can't offer you any professional help, but we really do appreciate you guys being a part of this podcast, and we want you to stick around. And Steve and I are happy to help in any way that we can to make sure that that happens. So thanks again, guys. We love you, and we'll see you on the next episode.